But here we go again, God. Heavenly Father, kind and good, we thank you for thy love and tender care and for all the blessings that we share. In Christ's name, amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Comedy Talk Show. Find us on keithandthegirl.com or on iTunes. Jesse Joyce is with us today. How you doing, buddy?
I am.
One second. This is very important.
Okay.
This show is brought to you by the Permanent Record Podcast. The Permanent Record is a weekly podcast from 230-something Minnesotans. Small town news, celebrity gossip, TV, movies, and their daily lives are all discussed. It's wicked yet sweet. Go to thepermanentrecordpodcast.com for shows and more information.
L'chaim.
Now, you were saying, Jesse, how are you?
Good, I guess. Yeah, so right. I'm fine now.
Good.
Slightly more annoyed than I was a second ago, but I'm good. So,
Jesse great. Joyce, now married.
I am indeed.
Oh!
Oh, that's right.
Where's your ring?
Yeah, I got it. They fucked it up, you know? You heard the story, right? That they were lost in the mail, and they showed up an hour before the ceremony, and they were like completely the wrong size. Wow. So we had to send them back.
I heard the story, I like to listen.
Well, there you go. It's okay. So I got this. This is just a thing, like a placeholder, if you will. So.
Huh. You think that's mean?
Just to
anything?
Keep chicks off my dick, you know what I mean? I got to put something on my finger, you know? You're like, back off, bitches. I got this fake ring.
You know what you should have done? You should have live-tweeted your wedding, people are saying.
Pat Dixon live-tweeted my wedding. What are you talking about?
Well, it would have been more exciting if it was you.
Like, if it was me?
Yeah.
Right. I do.
Yeah, tweet the I do's back at each other.
Yeah. I guarantee you some douchey couple did that. You know,
maybe
for,
a
like,
couple
press
who,
or whatever.
Maybe a couple who met through Twitter.
Yeah. They probably like they got married on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, like those awful stories.
And I do want to get into the wedding, of course. Speaking of tweets, though, my buddy Josh Latta, mm-hmm. I love his tweets. This is his latest one. I wanted to make you wet, but not this wet. That's his problem. He was in New York for a second. I wanted to hang out with him more. And I was hanging out after the bingo, but I didn't see him. I think he was getting high somewhere.
And also, that was his last night in New York.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know who's worth following? Is Dana Gould. You know Dana Gould? He's a comic.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking hilarious. The economy of words that he uses, it's great. He had this one. It was one of my favorites. He goes, you know, Man's Chinese Theater, that thing in Hollywood?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, where all the assholes dress up in stupid costumes or whatever. And he was walking by and he goes, just walk by Man's Theater. And I either saw a wet, drunk, homeless guy dressed as Spider-Man. Or a regular guy dressed as wet, drunk, homeless Spider-Man. It's fucking hilarious.
Well, I know Josh was seeing Pee-wee Herman on Broadway. He's very excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. What is this?
Pee-wee Herman is back at 62, and he's putting on the bow tie and everything and walking around repeating things you say. You know, I know you are, but what am I? And
Broadway?
Now it's on Broadway.
Yeah.
Which I think it'd be funny if we all go to the show, sit there, and start jerking off.
That's what I was going to, yeah.
You know what? I could jerk off for less than $100 a ticket. Thank you.
In front of Pee-wee?
Yeah. I thought that the headline on that one should have read, you know, because it was a big success or whatever. And like the whole angle was how nostalgic everybody, it's all people in their 30s who go because they remember the show when they were kids. So I thought the headline would be, Pee-wee touches everyone else in a theater. Right? Wouldn't that be great?
Well, fun. I knew he was making a comeback. I didn't know it was on Broadway.
That's weird. Yeah, it is. It got great reviews.
Does everybody have, you know, $100 worth of ticket irony to spend?
Yeah, it is ironic.
That's
amazing. You're absolutely
right.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who doesn't have $100 for irony?
I don't. I'm not going to see it.
Lawrence Fishburne's not in it, right?
No, he's like the only one. Him and Phil Hartman, obviously, are like the only two that didn't return to the cast, but everybody else did.
Is Lawrence Fishburne's daughter in it? I'm into that. She's a porn star. Is she really? Oh, yeah. He's disgusted by her.
No way.
She's cut off.
What's her name?
Lawrence Fishburne's daughter is on every cover, so I think that's her name.
Lawrence Fishburne's cock-loving daughter. Let me say this,
by the way.
So you have heard of it.
I have. I didn't know that.
Let me take the time to say that I want to just send out a big thank you to everybody who donates to the Keith and the Girl show. We have this thing set up. Jesse talked about it before. It's keithandthegirl.com/donate, and it's very helpful, and your generosity is just, it's necessary, but it's amazing. And we see when they come in, and I just want to take the time and make it crystal. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
I don't know, when you sign up, I don't know if it if it thanks you, or I don't remember what it sends you, but we see every name, and we just want to take the time to say thank you for giving a fuck, you know?
Yeah, it helps. It helps sustain the show, so thank you so much.
Speaking of Twitters, this is Elvis Rico. He was watching the new show, The Walking Dead, which it's a zombie TV series, and I only have time for zombie movies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can't see you walk slow for a season.
You can resolve pretty much any zombie conflict within an hour and right. 40 minutes.
Where are they going to hide now? I'm guessing every show it's a new hiding place. You know? The mall shooting is one show. That's the finale.
Right.
And Elvis has some points. You ever notice watching these zombie movies and shows, you never see a zombie midget?
Huh. That's true.
And he also says, what's this one? Down syndrome zombies. Do you know? You know?
Can you tell if you don't have...
What if you're in the apocalypse and a Down syndrome dude's coming over to you? It's like, no, I don't think so. You're a zombie. You know, I don't know.
Goodness.
Zombie retarded people, they don't go for people, they go for rabbits, and they just they just hug the shit out of them.
They're at the petting zoo, just drooling. Yeah. And he brought up a point, it'd be funny if you saw a zombie ninja. Are you able to kick their ass easily? It's the one time you can take a ninja.
You brought all this up under the context of, like, these are all good points.
I think it's a great point. Right. Never see a zombie in a wheelchair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jesse's too good for this because he's married now.
There's nothing to do with it. It just I went with him on the two, but then it was like, and you know what else? You never see a zombie fireman. It's like, this is a never-ending
premise. Wait. I see what you're saying. You don't.
It just gets dumb.
You don't see zombie firemen.
It gets dumb after a few minutes, you know?
You don't see zombie firemen. Now, why?
I'm not exactly sure. Zombies have driver's licenses? Like, it's just kind of like a silly point that keeps going.
I see where you're going.
Right. Okay.
I can keep doing this. This guy's daughter is in the ICU.
Yeah, wow.
Again this week. She was last week also.
Which guy's daughter?
The guy who has zombie jokes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Do you think I really cared this much about the fucking zombie joke? My buddy's going through a time. His daughter's in the ICU, out of the ICU. Her heart has extra fluid. He's got to sleep there every night. Yeah, all okay. Right. Pick on his fucking zombie. Jokes.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe...
Cut the guy some slack.
Maybe his daughter would get better if he didn't have shitty ideas.
Hi, Elvis.
How you doing?
I tried, Elvis. Sorry, you know Jesse. Anything to build him up. Somehow cutting down you and your daughter builds up...
He's a good guy.
Builds up Jesse. Amazing.
It doesn't make his fucking jokes about zombies any better.
I didn't know you guys were competing for the same Comedy Central time. Right? The guy can't have 20 seconds of zombie jokes.
The first two were good. And then it started to trail off. That's all I'm saying.
The whole other two.
Just like you can't tolerate an entire season of zombie nonsense. Fucking 60 tweets about zombie shenanigans is not my thing either.
All right. I'm sorry, Elvis. That's all right. Tried to brighten up your day. Yesterday we had on Tom McCaffrey. You know Tom.
I do know Tom. He's a funny guy.
Tom is 37 years old, lives in his dad's apartment in New York City. Kenda and I were saying how ridiculous that is.
Right.
And some people... disagree, not just some people. The poll was Tom McCaffrey at dad's apartment, no good or no big deal. 53% saying no good, meaning, of course, 47% saying it's no big deal. So what? He's 37, he's living with his dad in the apartment. People,
and some people were really upset with us for picking on him so much. The 37-year-old who it's his seventh month living with his dad. Look, I get it. Shit is hard sometimes, right. And you know, a month,
right?
You know.
But you know what? And here's what happened. It wasn't even money. It was he left. He said his roommate had some kind of black mold, you know. And that's what I saw Brooklyn's Finest. That's what the main cop's wife was having. So he had to go on the shady side of the law to make some money. So that's tough business. But anyway, the roommate ends up leaving. Mm-hmm. And so he needs to get a new place. But he has the money. So he's just mooching off his dad. We're at 7 months already. So it's not even that he came onto hard times. And even after the show, he goes, yeah, I am getting on my dad's nerves. And I definitely have to leave. And I think, why didn't you fucking say that also? Why didn't you admit that part? Okay. Second, then I think, it doesn't even matter, because I knew.
Right.
Do you know what? I know whatever you're saying is bullshit. You know, get out of the fucking house.
That it's 7 months, and you guys gave him shit immediately. I was the only guy bitching about Dan Allen mooching off the entire world for a year and a half, and nobody fucking had my back.
I was on your side.
Yeah, we were there.
All right.
But, yeah, and we did ask him, we're like, don't you have friends?
Right.
What are your friends saying about this? And he said, They
like it.
Yeah, they not only are cool with it, they say that they would do it also if they had a parent living in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's saying his friends would say, oh, man, I wish I can do that. Or, I'd like to do that. And you just think, then why aren't you, though? Yeah, not me.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it would be really fucking embarrassing and awkward. But hypothetically, I could see you doing it. I think it's interesting that there is like a 20-year window where that's unacceptable, but then it becomes okay again. Like you can live with your parents up to you're like 27, and then it's like, all right, dude, get your shit together. But then if you just stay for like another maybe 20 years, then suddenly you're a good guy. You know what I mean? Because then when you're fucking 47, and that means your dad's like 7, and then it's like, oh, he's taking care of his dad. Like, that's a nice, you know what I mean? So all he has to do is tough it out for another few years, and then suddenly it flips, and then Tom's like, oh, he's such a great guy. He's taking care of his old dad.
Yeah, he even said he's not taking care of his dad. His dad is just fine. And people are making excuses for him, like, oh, his dad likes it.
Yeah, never did he say his dad likes it. He never said, oh, his dad was looking for company or I have to change my dad's diapers or anything like that.
And and to be clear, let me go on the record also, 27 is far too old.
Yeah, that's far too old.
I was just arbitrarily.
I'm going to give you until 25 and I still think that's far too old.
Yeah.
Flux Quanta is disgusted. He says, wow, I'm 20 minutes into this episode and I'm not sure I can finish it. The cuntiness is astounding. Who cares if Tom lives with his dad or if he doesn't? And D Warrior says, I think your judgment is clouded by the fact that you also live with your parents. And this guy, Flux Quanta, says, well, I live with my sister because, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and here's the thing about that. I'm wondering if this, you know, I feel like the next poll should be how many of you are under 25 and how many of you live with parent, friends, right. Like how many of you are not paying rent or getting like a ton of assistance? You know, I would sooner have more something for this guy if his dad was just giving him a little bit of money.
Right.
And he could just shush about it and let's keep moving.
I don't believe that the poll is accurate. I really don't. Because I believe people are saying, oh, I had it tough and I had to stay at my parents' house for a week. Or I had to move in for a little bit. I lost my job, that kind of thing. And so they're like, all right, he gets a pass. He doesn't have money problems. He made that clear. 15 years old, going to Spain, summer in the Hamptons. He's just mooching off his dad, and his dad is not pleased by it, and you're hitting okay. Like, you don't believe it. You just don't.
Yeah, I think
I don't know. I don't mean to sound so stubborn, but it's wrong.
I would feel differently, absolutely, if he just got a divorce, lost his job. You know, right. Like if shit really happened and you just want to, you know what? Because I do think adults deserve a break. We don't get summer vacations, you know, and especially in the U.S., we get, you know, a long weekend and we're thankful. Oh, thank you so much. The extra day. Now I can go somewhere very quickly and hurry up and come back.
This is so here's Flux Wanta saying, I live with my sister because I literally have no other options. I couldn't live with my parents if I wanted to. I'm 23 years old. I have no income because after thousands of dollars of student loan debt and no way to start paying it off. While this situation is definitely frustrating to me, it is completely different from the one in this episode, and it doesn't make the comments any less cunty. So he's saying, I know I'm a little different than this guy, but still, just so cunty. As always on this forum, sorry for having an opinion. What? That one person said you probably are okay with it because you live with your parents too. Sorry that I had an opinion. I guarantee, keep me updated, Flux Quanta. I guarantee you'll be at your sister's house past 25.
Also, by the way, I think a 23-year-old is different. I also think living with your sister, I hope you're cleaning and cooking and all that stuff because your sister deserves some help. You know, your sister probably has it just as tough.
I do help. The other day, she was bringing in groceries for me, and it almost slipped off one of her hands, and I took it and put it on the counter for her before I went back to the internet and jerked off to Keith and the Girl Hottest Chick Thread. So, yeah, I'll give her a hand. And after I eat it, I'll put the dish right in the sink for her. So, I'm a good guy. I guarantee you're there past 25, and I want an apology if you are. In fact, I will leave a space in my email for your email.
Right.
I will always leave 99% full. I'll leave a little space. Don't you worry. I'm watching your life now. DJ Venkat, the events that occurred that led Tom McCaffrey to move back in with his father weren't of his choosing. So what if he allowed himself to take advantage of a comfortable situation and bank some cash? Eventually, he'll move on with his life. Eventually when? From the dad, when? 7 months we're talking. Until then, his aging father gets to feel necessary and helpful again. It's pretty much a win-win. Quit doing people favors. So many favors. Yeah.
Thank you for making me feel helpful. I haven't changed a diaper in 33 years, and I kind of miss that.
Yeah, thank you for making me feel like I raised a son properly. You know, the most important thing to a father, you're taking away from me. So thank you for that favor. Me raising somebody, knowing he's out in the world and that I raised him well, I made sacrifices for a reason, I get to watch him leave half Cheerio bowls on the counter table when he goes to work. I guess that's work he's calling it. Okay, you're at the social club. I'm real proud to talk about you. Thank you. Thank you, son of mine. And if it's so fucking normal, how come these people that live with their parents, you got to pry the information out of them? Like somehow they said something, they slipped up, and you're like, you live with your fucking parents.
Right.
Like, what's weird about it that you didn't say? That's what's fucking weird. When I moved out of my house when I was 18, how come that wasn't looked down upon? Like, oh, dude, you don't want to stay longer with your parents?
Don't your parents want company? They'll feel usable.
League Fool is not pleased. Who the fuck is this douchebag? Wow, just wow. I've never posted on the forums before, despite being a member for a year or two, but I just had to log in to comment on this fucking asshole Tom you had on the show.
Jeez.
Where the fuck did you find this Valley girl? Go back and listen to his fucking voice. He sounds like he was raised in a pack of Valley bitches. Or maybe he grew up with the cunts from the city, seeing as how he's from Manhattan. I don't think I've ever heard a non-gay dude sound this retarded. I'm gay, I can say that. He sounds like a fucking douche truck.
This guy's pretty aggressive for a gay.
He's upset. For a gay.
For one of the gays, he's really...
He sounds like a fucking douche truck, and if I were near him, I'd probably punch him on reflexes alone. And he is a fucking terrible rapper. My ears bled. Please tell me this was all just a big joke. Did you get some comedian to sound like a total Valley dipshit for funsies? This privileged, spoiled piece of shit can go fuck himself.
Okay, wow. Let's just make it clear that we were ripping on him, but I think he's hilarious. And I thought yesterday's show, all his responses were so funny and quick and... I don't know.
Yeah, you kind of want to go, you should get people to pay you to do this.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought he was one of the funnier people we've had on here.
Yeah, he's great. I love Tom. Hey, did he tell you about how he danced at the Oscars? Did he tell you about that?
No.
Yeah, yeah. It's fucking hilarious. Because he went to like a high school for the performing arts or something like that, or a grade school for the... He went to grade school with like Adrian Brody at like some like super fancy New York City, like for fucking gifted actory children kind of school, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then, Adrian Brody, of course, from the movie Predator, is very gifted.
Well, he just won an Oscar, you know? So anyway, but yeah, Tom danced as like a 10-year-old. He and like the other 10-year-olds from this school, they all did like a little fucking, you know, jazz handsy dance at the 1984 Oscars or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
It's like on his website or something. He's like a video of it.
He's on stage and everything.
Yeah. As like a 10-year-old or whatever. Dancing around in like a sequiny bow tie.
That's 10 cool. years old, and the dad had such dreams.
Yeah.
Such dreams, son. I can't wait till you're 37 and you're living back here, Oscar boy. How about you sell your fucking Oscar? Get the fuck out. No, dad, I have plenty of money. Well, even better. Did I just give that to you, by the way? Yeah, your allowance was another 1,000. Get out. This is D Warrior posted this. I thought it was funny. This is from the beginning of the show Seinfeld.
No way that moving in with your parents is a sign that your life is right on track. There's no way that you could fake this even. Yeah, things are going great. I've met a terrific girl. I got a great job making a lot of money. And if everything goes according to plan, I'm going to be moving back in with my parents soon. It's like getting busted on a parole violation and thrown back into the slammer. In the opinion of the board, you'd need further rehabilitation, I'm afraid. And you know, you go back into that little room of yours, you feel so huge. It's like you could take your bed and just crush it in your hands. You can hold your parents between your fingers and going, why were they so afraid of you people when I was growing up?
All I heard was bass guitar. That's all I heard the whole time.
You see, Elvis, Jesse doesn't like Seinfeld either. So don't worry.
I don't dislike Seinfeld.
You know what's funny is when you find people that do live with their parents, and then they have you ever seen this? And they shit on their parents.
Right.
Like, I can't believe I'm a grown man and my dad wants a curfew of 2 a.m. Fuck you. It's like, get out.
Yeah.
Like, how can you complain about anything? They took the last of the milk, my dad. He knows I love my coffee. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, you know what? Even, and I know this is a weird comparison, but I watch I watch 16 and Pregnant, and on a lot of the episodes, the kids move their boyfriend in or move their girlfriend in, and in the latest one, there's a girl who's 15 or 16 years old, and she moved her boyfriend in, and the boyfriend keeps going out and coming in at all hours and is not helping out and is not doing anything, and so the mom is like, look, you know, I need you to be back at midnight, and he goes, you know, you're not even my mom, like, you can't, like, I'm so sick of you, and, you know, you're just all on top of me all the time, and I go, wow. Yeah. We really were assholes when we were teenagers, like no matter what. And I think we were all good kids in this room, you know? Yeah. We were all good kids, but at some point we said something douchey like that. Not to this extent, because at this extent, like if I was at somebody else's house after I knocked up their kid, I'd shut the fuck up, you know? Yeah. Like seriously. Yeah. And it's sort of the same thing where it's like, you know, you knocked up her girl, her daughter, you know, time to shut the fuck up. You move in at 37 or 30 something, 20 something, whatever. You move back in with your parents. Shut the fuck up. If they want you to rub their feet nightly, that's your rent. You wouldn't talk like that to your landlord. I know it's the first, but, you know, sometimes checks take a while to clear on my end. Do you want your check to bounce? I'll give it to you tomorrow.
Well, this
that would be a fucked up landlord dynamic, though, if he was like, you're grounded. Like, what?
Jesse just had his wedding, and it was very expensive, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got to start making money again. I'm going to assume for a year or so, just because it's convenient, you and your wife will live with your parents.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? That'll be fun for them.
Sure. And you guys get along, so what's the big deal?
Right, exactly.
50, yeah, I don't buy it. 50% of people, it's fine. You know it's not fine. I really think it's like... You felt bad for Tom because you had to do a situation like that, like this, or like Henda said, you're just young. But you know what? Young, I think they'd vote more in our favor if they were young. When I was young, I was going to be a success at 30. I knew it had to do with the arts, so I knew fame would go with that. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life until I was 30. But don't you, isn't it normal that, and I'm dead at 45, do you know what I mean? But here they're like, it's going to be normal. I'm going to be 30. Is that this generation? I'm going to be 37 and live with my parents. This is my goal.
No, I agree with you that, because I also was like, please get me the fuck out and never let me come back here. And we do have a different relationship with our parents and other people. But aside from that, Keith, you and I didn't go to college and didn't accumulate this huge bill. Okay, so I think that's part of it. I think part of it also is they left their house at 18 to go to college, meaning like at around 21, 22, you actually do have to come back for a little bit and, you know, just kind of get settled, get a job, then move out. I think that's normal. So there you are at 22 living with your parents. I think that's fine. Or maybe you accumulated so much debt that maybe you do have to live there for a year or two after college.
So you
that's normal.
So you would vote, yes, Tom's is normal when I'm 37.
No, well, that's the thing. No.
Yeah, but I mean, like after college, just to save up money to move to New York and do stand-up, I moved back in with my parents for like 9 months or something like that. I was like 21 or 20.
That's fine. Time.
And then, but yeah, then once I got here and I drank all my fucking, you know, waiter money, like I literally, like I had to steal from Planet Hollywood to prevent myself from fucking moving back in with my parents. You know, like that's how not an option that was in my own head at like 23. I was like, fuck no, I would be a failure if I moved back in with my parents. So,
and I really like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I respect what you did more.
Oh, dude, I fucking stole from that company all the time. Oh, fuck that.
What did you steal? Food?
Both. Yeah, like all of our silverware for a decade was fucking Planet Hollywood stuff. And then we would...
I bet they calculate all the waiters' bullshit into their annual
budget. No. This is what was great. Like, so I'll tell you the second. But then I would steal... Like, I had this way of, like, I would go to the Times Square, like, kiosk, like the tourist thing, and I would grab a whole bunch of those, like, 20% off coupons or whatever.
Yep.
And then I would go, and if people paid cash... After they left, I would put in the coupon, and then I would just keep their money, right? And I would do that all the time.
Wow.
I did that, among other things, but did they pull you inside and go, Jesse, seems
to... I have a lot of coupons? You know, they started to catch on, and actually, after I ended up leaving, they ended up firing a bunch of people for... I created the...
Okay.
I started the game, and then everybody got fired. But then this guy, Jim, who was in a band, and I... He was a waiter also. We lived together. He would he and I would steal entire racks of ribs from the lot from the freezer. You know, like just giant, like $80 racks of ribs, right? We would just shove them down our shirt, you know, and walk out. And like we just, because it was like, oh, their ribs are showing. You know, like because they were just, right? You know.
And then they see the ribs are showing and they go, guys, I feel bad. Do you want to take home a rack of ribs?
Yeah, yeah. Well, wait, no, this is the best. And then we would have cookouts at our house. at our apartment because we had a balcony. So we'd have cookouts and we would invite the management. The management would come and we would feed them their own ribs diabolically, like fucking Hannibal Lecter. And then on Monday there would be a meeting and they'd go, somebody keeps taking all the ribs. I don't know where the ribs are going. It's like, they're in your belly.
They burp when they say that.
Yeah. It was diabolical. No. I swear to God. Yeah.
And they didn't put that together.
They did not put it together. Yeah.
Oh, you've seen these managers at these restaurants.
Come on, exactly. Because that's actually another theory of mine, is that when you would get to like the manage, like that's something I realized when I was like 15 when I worked in a movie theater, is that the management are not like the kind of people that got the job because they're like qualified or like, you know, it's like they didn't go to fucking movie theater management school. They're just like, they got rewarded for being ambitionless. Like,
right.
They were the popcorn person who stuck around the longest. And then after 15 years, it's like, I guess we should give Ron the job. You know, like, Ron right. doesn't fucking deserve it.
But I think he's ready to spray down the 3D glasses.
Yeah, exactly. So the people who work in the management at like, no, I'm not saying, like, you know, there's certain, like, fancy restaurants that you do go to, like, culinary school and you fucking, like, you want to, like, that's your career. But, like, Hard Rock Cafe, the management is not, like, oh, wow, they really know what they're doing over there. You know, mm-hmm. like, they're just fucking some waiter that...
Newsy was the manager of his, fucking
Bed Bath and Beyond.
No, of a movie theater back when he was even younger. Now, like, so he's right. like a 22 or 23 year old manager at best, you know. And it's like, really,
right? yeah, that's exactly. And he's like, I'm gonna speak to the management about this. And the manager's like,
I think McNally was too. I think they both were like jerking off as the projector's going, you know.
Oh, yeah, they both have jerk off stories for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, what's in the popcorn? Baby, everybody's scared about the extra butter in the popcorn.
Right.
That's not what you should be nervous about.
Hey, don't put that out there. That is so... Now I'm really thinking about jerk off in the popcorn.
What do you think's going on?
Why do you think it's so salty?
You motherfucker.
Something's going on. Salty. A lot of ants in that popcorn. I don't know if this goes with
your
the,
ejaculate attracts ants?
We've gotten letters from people that... I don't understand how people live, but apparently you can live with your parents. What the fuck do I know? They jerk off at their computer desk, let's say, and they jerk off on the ground, and they leave it, and it attracts ants. Like somebody was like in the shower, but it wasn't going down, or they wouldn't wash it off or something, and ants get it. So apparently ants love sperm.
Huh.
Yeah. Right. It's these fucking ants. That's grosser.
Yeah, I'm really grossed out.
So if you ever see ants in your house, they could have just ate sperm from your neighbor's place.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody loves sperm more than my Aunt Marie. That lady, she's fucking... I'm just kidding. See, I thought you were talking about ants like they're married to your uncle. It's funny how I did that.
See what I mean, Elvis? Yeah. Even the pros. And you were under distress. Jesse's having a good time.
Oh, fun. You saw her at the wedding. She loves.
She does love it.
Yeah, she loves it.
When I felt uncomfortable. I don't know if this goes with the entitlement thing that we're talking about, but somebody gave us this email about an event coming up, and this is shocking. This is the world we live in. I think they gave it to us thinking, you guys will like this. And I don't know. It's just some hippie bullshit that kind of, it really rubs me the wrong way. This is happening Friday, November 26th. And that's Black Friday, the day, you know, Thanksgiving's over and you do all your shopping. I talked about Black Friday on my last DVD, of course.
Oh, that's right. So Black Friday is the day after when all the sales are happening.
Right. Yeah.
And supposedly, from what I'm hearing, the recession is so bad and people are so trying to get other people to their store that the sales are already happening now, where normally for, let's say, Christmas or something, they would wait until Black Friday.
Mm.
I like to call Black Friday day when seven people get trampled to death.
Well, here's the subject is Buy Nothing Day Fun, Have a Whirl. And this is going to happen at, speaking of Bed Bath & Beyond, this will happen Friday, November 26th at 1 p.m. It's at the Bed Bath & Beyond at 6th Avenue and 18th Street here in Manhattan. On Buy Nothing Day, defy our society's relentless shopping rituals by taking part a ritual of consumption awareness, reclaiming commercial space through the simple act of not shopping. A whirl, it's called a whirl, is a fun, easy to do, and delightful visual way to raise awareness about overconsumption. Some people have likened it to critical mass with shopping carts, reclaiming a faux public space for our own purposes. So these stores, they don't have a right to be there. That should be, this whole earth should be our space, and they're setting up shops in our space. They call it a public space, but they're trying to sell you stuff, aren't they? For more info on the World Mart, Go to breathingplanet.net/world. What to do? Good question, Jesse. Dress inconspicuously. This starts an invisible theater. Arrive at Bed Bath & Beyond between 12:45 and 1:15 p.m. alone or in a very small group.
It's going to be a bunch of dudes with, like, fucking trench coats with the collar pulled up and, like, sunglasses and their hats pulled down real low.
Giggling.
It's inconspicuous.
Enter the store, grab a shopping cart, and start pushing it through the aisles in a calm, unhurried fashion. When you see another person with an empty cart, don't acknowledge her visually, but do fall in line behind her. And don't be surprised when you start to hear the squeak of other shopping carts behind you. Explore all the aisles. If your line seems traffic jammed, feel free, split off, and have others follow you, or recombine with another shopping cart snake. So there's all the, like Jesse's saying, you know, this is the time where doors are busted down, people are trampled on, because it's a day that you make savings, you know, people don't have a lot of money, especially now, and there's going to be time and room to make giant empty shopping cart snakes?
That's a thing, yeah.
I hope these are the people that get trampled.
You do hope they get hurt. You're getting in my way, I'm going for the latest Elmo, and you're just standing like a douche. To what? To show I shouldn't be buying things?
But why do you think that your cart would even fit in an aisle on this day?
Right.
And why? Why would you harass a shopper?
Because they should know you don't. Everybody's buying things, you know, which is actually the opposite of what people are doing. And we need people to buy things. You fucking hippie idiot! You don't even know why. It's like somebody would say, "You want to go to this world thing and tell people how we overconsume? We do overconsume. That doesn't sound right. Well, how so? I don't know. I'm done thinking it through. We need people to buy, you fucking idiot." Explore the shopping cart escalator. If anyone asks what you're doing, you can say it's a consumption awareness ritual. Or, we are looking to see if there's anything we want to buy. Or simply, I'm not shopping. Relax, enjoy, and try not to giggle.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, no, because they were just like, oh, I'm just looking to see if there's something I might, and it's like, oh, okay, all right, well, have a good day. If, like, right. nobody just noticed their fucking dumb thing,
see,
you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think anybody will. No. I don't think anyone's looking at anybody else on Black Friday, let alone, like, any other shopping day. Unless you hit into me, why do I care that you're walking around with an empty shopping cart?
Right.
I'm not the manager there, like, can I help you with something? I noticed that you've been walking around for so long with nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we not have your needs and all your wants? Because we do have a popcorn maker. Oh, is that too much consumption?
Yeah, by the way, I'm trying to keep everybody from stepping on each other's faces because this has been the most popular day for shopping for fucking decades. So, like, I'm a little busy to notice your fucking stupid fucking hippie point.
And actually, Bed Bath & Beyond, maybe they picked it because of this. I think they're the only ones that don't lower their price like crazy because they, you know, just
Bed Bath & Beyond gives, like, fucking 80% off coupons. Like, why would they?
20% off, so that's reverse.
But you can use fucking four of them at once.
Yes, for the different items in your basket. But you get a lot of Bed Bath & Beyond because they constantly give out coupons, because they constantly lower the price. I think from what I know from Newsy is that they don't do that. So maybe they're picking a store that doesn't get bombarded. But I think everything gets bombarded. You just like all of a sudden need something. And I do agree that we feel like we need more than we actually do. But I feel like people slowed that down, and that's slowing down the economy more, right. You know? So what if I do need a bath mat on the 26th? You're going to harass me about it? What if that's because that's where I have all my coupons from, that's where I get my shampoo? I was there the other day. I literally got like shampoo, conditioner, for real stuff that I need because I can get it at a discount there.
When does this end? Well, often store personnel let this go on rather than making a scene. They don't give a shit. But if asked to leave, do so. If the event doesn't get ended by 2 p.m., bring your cart to the checkout and exit. Some of us will then either whirl another store or go to a real public place to unwind. A real public place, you know, like a bar or a coffee shop, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, so you can consume a beer. Yeah. And by the way, you can make your own coffee, asshole.
Right. Fucking, that's the other thing, too, that is a great point, is that when I worked, I mean, granted, I didn't have the fucking best work ethic because I was really focused on being a comic at some point. But like, my attitude always, like, when I would see people, like, go out of their way to, like, try to sneak into the movie theater, like, they would just be, like, trying to be really subversive, and I would just, like, yeah, go right ahead. I don't give a fuck. I don't get paid enough to give a shit what you do. Like, go right, whatever, you know? Like, none of the people that work at this store are going to be invested. Like, the fucking president of Bed Bath & Beyond is not going to be there protecting his soap. Like, nobody gives a shit who works there. They're always like, you know, I'm getting you know, holiday pay to be here. Like, the fuck do I care if you steal soap or
but
whatever?
But that's the thing. Like, they're not doing anything like that. They're not stealing soap. Nobody's going to watch you in your empty cart.
But yeah, but it's like your statement is going to fall completely on deaf ears, and it's just going to annoy people who actually need to get stuff.
No, but in fact, I think that, see, they didn't think this out too well. Like, I get what they're trying to do. I think it's stupid because they're trying to harass the customer instead of the actual store. So I get it that that's who you can target because you can't think of anything more important to do. Fine. But I think that the people who are doing this thing will actually be the one the most harassed, because if you have nothing in your cart and you're walking around, that's when people are like, can I help you find what you're looking for? If you're looking around aimlessly, you're going to keep getting harassed about how can I help you? How can I help you? How can I help you? If anything. But again, Black Friday, I don't know that I'll be going. I don't know that I'll be leaving the house. Oh, I'll be in Israel. So, but I don't shop on that day because it's just insane lining up at 4 o'clock in the morning to save, you know, $5.
And every day is Black Friday in Israel, right? You're going to yell at them the same whether it's a Tuesday or a Friday.
Well,
there's no blacks in Israel.
Yes, there are.
Okay.
Ethiopians. We're meeting in Israel on Black Saturday, the 27th, me and my brother with a few Keith and the Girl people. So go to keithandthegirl.com/events, and the actual location will be posted within the next 2 days. So meet us there.
I believe Something Dumb is Right, writing from Massachusetts. These people are going to get there in these stores and see a great deal and end up buying things. Of course they are. I swear to God, of course they are.
Yeah. Well, I do need.
Okay, I need it.
I do need oatmeal scrub. I do need to get some of that.
I need patchouli oil, and this foosball game is only $30. To have a foosball game in your house. That's the deal. Well, if you're
interested. But I'm not happy about it.
If you're interested in being a jerk off, call Madeline at 917-538-7505. 917-538-7505. Personally, I say you call her and tell her that we use cell phones too much.
Yeah. Just go call her up and express your opinion.
Also, and then here's more.
Try to sell her things.
Here's more fun things that you can do. In the evening, have a freaking feast. I'll explain this. Is your Thanksgiving a nightmare of wasteful binging, revisionist history, and dysfunctional family dynamics? Yes. Ugh. When I'm with my family, we often talk about pilgrims and Indians and how they were friends.
Yeah.
And
we talk about smallpox and genocide.
Genocide. Explore an alternative at a friggin' feast on Buy Nothing Day. We dumpster and forage the ingredients. Then everyone helps to prepare the food and clean up afterwards. What do you throw away? You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I can't possibly finish. It's like, we took that out of a dumpster. You're putting it back in the dumpster.
Are they really asking people to go into the dumpster?
Absolutely. That dumpster isn't slang for something, for leftovers. They're going into a fucking dumpster.
See, but I don't understand. Here's the thing, okay?
Right.
So you overly consume on Thanksgiving. I get it, whatever. But most people actually use that stuff for leftovers.
Of course.
For the next few days. Like, I don't throw out my food if it's leftover, and I get that you eat more than the usual day, but it's not only about that. People really love it because they finally get a chance to get together with people that they don't get to see normally.
Right. And you don't waste it. You're making turkey salad. You're doing things you never tried.
You're eating turkey for the rest of your life. But also, by the way, I was shitting on the overly consumption person. People are asking me what I want for my birthday. Like, it's... I don't necessarily like things, you know. I don't need and whatever. I'm not just shitting on these people because I think everybody should buy everything all the time. But this is ridiculous. What's coming up? Like, I'm half a hippie myself, and I don't agree with this.
What's funny is the same person that sent the email is probably into it. Sends the email over consumption, and then adds, by the way, what do you want for your birthday? Like, I don't. Whatever you get from the dumpster's good. I don't mind.
Well, make sure you talk to Madeline so you can join her for a dumpster Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then whatever Friday, and then make sure you join them for E. coli Saturday, where all of these fucking hippies will be vomiting from.
Yeah, because
consuming
New York,
rotten fucking dumpster meat.
New York garbage. The rats know where that is.
Right. Yeah.
Explore an alternative at a friggin' feast on Buy Nothing Day. We dumpster and forage the ingredients, and everyone helps to prepare the food and clean up afterwards. All food is vegetarian. Most is vegan.
How do you know? It's dumpster food. How do you know I didn't put milk in that mashed potatoes or any kind of dairy, butter, anything?
The Buy Nothing Day feast will be held way uptown. Way uptown. I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Food prep starts at 5:30 p.m. We eat around 8 p.m. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go there and show them how stupid it is and bring an empty plate and sit right beside them and walk everywhere they walk. They go to the bathroom, I'm right behind them.
See, I would think this would make more sense. Is it like, do you guys always have leftovers at Thanksgiving? Let's all get together with our leftovers.
Right.
Everybody bring one leftover dish. I think that's nice.
And normal. Yeah, that's what normal people do. I don't see how that makes me a better hippie. And it's about me being a better person. And if you can, and by better person I mean being better than others, if you can, join a foraging party on Thanksgiving evening on the Upper West Side. To RSVP for the feast or go in the food gathering crew, call Janet at this number. And, you know, I'm not going to give you the number. If people want to eat from a dumpster, I'm not going to give them a hard time. Do whatever the fuck you want. Right. And I apologize if you were into it and I'm not giving the number, but you can find this online, I'm sure.
Do you have to eat what you find in the dumpster? If that'd be pretty great. That is fucking like the Bronx. So it's like, hey, there's a dead hooker in this dumpster.
You know what? This seems like a thing. I was curious, like Kenda said, like dumpster has to be slang for something else. It can't mean you're really eating from a dumpster, but it is. Here's a guy's website. You know, it's not the same thing I was just reading, but it's the same thing. Dumpster Delights. His website is one man's trash is another man's dinner. This group is dedicated to scrounging food, whether from dumpsters or wherever else you can find it, other than paid for on demand and making something more from it. Submit your pictures, etc. The main focus is for me to make a cookbook I'm compiling. I'd love for your participation. I would love for it to be an international affair. We can even try to coordinate multi-urban scavenger escapades. It's fun. It's a fun thing to do. I am compiling recipes concocted with dumpster-dived ingredients. Of course, not all the ingredients have to be dived from the dumpster, but at least, of course not, because that would be insane. How are you going to get three courses out of a dumpster? Of course, not all the ingredients have to be dived from the dumpster, but at least 2 to 3 major ingredients should be. The recipe can be traditional, or better yet, it can be an avant-garde culinary sacrilege, albeit a palatable taste bud extravaganza. I see these bums walking around in New York. Ah, such a happy, satisfied face.
Yeah.
You can be an amateur.
Yeah, they don't buy anything, and they don't. They never consume things, and they eat out of dumpsters. And
here's
the
thing: at least this guy has a goal. I have a quirky book coming out.
Right.
And let's, you know, do this. So people are going to talk about my quirky book, and it's going to be like this, you know, semi-novel idea. You know, that's a thought and some kind of thing. But I do think if you're going to get together to try to end waste, which I'm all for, then there are other ways of doing it. Like contact the restaurants that you think are dumping too much and say, hey, before you dump your food, I'd like to schedule us coming in, and I will always have somebody coming in at 6 p.m., let's say, when you do your first dumping, and I would like to take your dump before it hits the trash, before it hits the whatever. Like, can we work out some kind of situation? And there are organizations that do that.
Chemda right now is as a vegetarian is to a vegan, as a nice person is to a hippie. A good person doesn't just come to your shop and say, we go the extra mile. We pick up a dirty diaper and take the food under it.
No, there are organizations that do that. You know
and
what I mean?
And they're shitty. We shit on them. Us real hippies shit on them.
Oh, I see.
I'm a better person. I go at night after the flies got to it. And I collect it.
Oh, it's not nice unless you're really tortured.
Right. Okay. Unless I can brag about it. And then I'll explain to you how I don't have a TV set.
We call it food poisoning roulette. It's a fun game.
You can be an amateur or professional dumpster diver. In fact, you might not have even done it before. For that reason, I am planning a dumpster tour in the San Francisco and Berkeley areas. We will dive deep and explore the nocturnal nutrients that lie in wait for our hungry little bellies. Oh, my God. Do you eat pussy with that mouth?
Ugh.
In addition to getting to have fun in the...
No, I don't think so.
In addition to getting to have fun in the kitchen, dumpster diving opens the doors to nocturnal novelty. Oh, it sounds like a hoot. When was the last time you went lurking back behind a dark alley or had to climb a fence stealthily?
The last time I got raped. Sorry that I don't miss it.
That adds to the fun that you might, like, when are you going to go to dinner at a fucking restaurant and maybe get raped? Like, rarely. Maybe date rape, but that's, like, super rare. Like, you run, it's like half the time you run the chance of getting raped if you have your ass sticking out of a dumpster. That's what's amazing about this.
I'm a pro, but I dumpster dive naked.
Like, I don't think most people appreciate that. After they finish a meal, like, nobody pushes the plate away and goes, like, wow, I didn't get raped. Like, I don't think enough people appreciate how infrequently you get raped after dinner.
That's what this is about.
And that's what this is about.
Appreciating
yeah.
life, appreciating
exactly.
everything it has to offer.
Right.
Okay, you might have to skip out on a few hours of sleep or boozing it up at the bar, but it saves you a hectic trip to the grocery store and even leaves a few buckaroos in your pocket.
Yeah, it's so much less hectic to go to the grocery store than it is to find things that might not kill you in a dumpster.
Yeah, never mind people around the dumpster. What's in the dumpster?
Yeah.
If I have to convince you, well, dumpster diving probably isn't for you, and I'm better than you.
Can you imagine, like, if I was a homeless guy, I would stab this person with a fucking coat hanger.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're actually, like, needing to live out of a dumpster, and then some guy, like, just a couple of fucking, like, hemp sweater-wearing assholes come in, they're like, no, we do this for fun.
Yeah.
You know, this is just fun for us.
That's like, the food they need, and you're taking their food.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, there are assholes about it because it's the same email. It's the same people that are going to go to Bed Bath and Beyond and be douches. You know, they're like they see a bum taking food out of the trash, and then they're one of these hipster douches, and they go, "Do you need all that?
Yeah,
do you need that full burger, or do you want to pass it around to us because we're good people?"
It's so upsetting because there actually really could be something you can do, but I don't know. It's such nonsense, like. I mean, I don't know how much we do as human beings, like us three in this room, but this is like the opposite of what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? Like, if you feel like you're eating too much, I don't know. I can't.
It's just about being better. It's these people are better than us. And that's all it is. You overconsume, so I'm going to bring my cart around like a dude. I hope it's one of these people that get punched in the face on Black Friday. I really do. Fucking douchebags. I'm going for a fucking sale and empty carts in my way because of what? You don't even know what. Overconsumption. Explain. I can't. I got an email.
Yeah, explain what specifically right. this corporation did to you. I get that corporations
are successful.
Big.
They're successful.
They hire people. You know, I know that there's a lot of bullshit going on in it. But if you don't know the specifics of why you hate Bed Bath & Beyond, then you don't get to do anything against it.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen is that if, hypothetically, best case scenario, it works, and this particular Bed Bath & Beyond gets completely fucked on their quarter sales because this is supposed to be the biggest thing of the year, they're going to put pressure on the guy, the manager, who just like a fucking manager who works there. And that guy is going to have to fire fucking cashiers.
Exactly.
Like, that's who's going to get fucked by this.
They can't afford having the people because the week of their sales got weak.
And then that cashier months later will be eating out of a dumpster and they'll go, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Hey, I remember
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Right. Douchebags. What pretentious douchebags. And I swear to God, if you're going to Bed Bath & Beyond that day to be a douche and eating out of dumpsters... And you live at home with your parents.
Oh, my God.
I think I would like, I don't know if this is legal to do, but for people to call that late and record those calls and send them in to you guys.
It's very legal.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Actually, it depends on your state.
Well, you got to be funny about it. Like, don't just fucking call her up and go, you're a cunt. But, like, you know, if you call her up and, like, lead her on, like, pretend to be interested in the movement, I'd like to hear those.
Let me say something.
Okay.
Everybody's not a comedian. Do whatever you want.
All right, fine.
Yeah, and I bet it'll be mostly a voicemail.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to answer a phone call. Hey, by the way, speaking of comics, Jesse is one.
Yeah, I am.
And he did it was a benefit for Greg Giraldo, who passed away, his buddy, my favorite comedian. Greg Giraldo is a benefit for his three sons. Greg didn't have money left over. And it was a roast. It was going to be a roast, right, for Greg Giraldo himself. Is that right?
You know, I don't know the detail exactly. Originally, I think they might have kicked that around, but Greg was definitely going to be on the roast. Like, he was going to roast Florentine. I think that's how it ended up. Like, that's where it was when he died. That's what was going to happen.
Would it be weird if it was a roast for Greg and everybody's sincerely afraid? You're gonna die soon from alcohol and drugs, but you got to make jokes about it. Like you're ready to die, ha ha ha. But okay, seriously, buddy, please get help. Okay, next stop. You know what I mean? Like, well, I get like it's an anything goes, but I'm not fucking around. You're gonna die. Okay, now Lisa left, but now Lisa's fat. You know,
I don't know. I mean, I wrote some jokes about Artie Lang for the Bob Saget roast right. about how he's going to die like immediately. And then he overdosed that day and was in the hospital. And then like he didn't show up for the roast as a result.
But you knew Greg better than Artie. You knew, right? Am I wrong?
But my point is that I kind of was like, that was a fucking airtight joke. Like right. that's how I was right. That was a fucking great bit.
Is that good? It's almost good news. It's like, as long as he doesn't die, yeah, this yeah. is good news. Well, here's an article on that. And they're praising how Jesse did. There was a roast for comedian Jim Florentine at Comics in New York, proceeds benefiting, Greg Giraldo's three sons. And while most comedians on the dais, Jim Norton, the Reverend Bob Levy, Don Jameson, were a few hurled crass but loving insults towards Florentine and the other comics on stage throughout the night, there was great care in ensuring Giraldo's spirit was present. Jim Florentine did a retarded voice on Crank Yankers. He's on a metal show, which yeah. is on VH1. That, by the way, I'm one of the few people still into metal.
Uh-huh.
What season are they on? He is so him and Don Jameson, and they're with Eddie Trunk, who is an old metal DJ. Maybe still DJing, on the radio, I mean. They are so uncomfortable. They stare at the camera, so uncomfortable. Yeah. They sit there with their hands on both knees. Like, nobody explained. You got to sit him down and go, loosen up, calm down, jumping jacks, then the show. I don't know what, but they have their hands on their knees, staring right at the camera.
Yeah,
and it's horrible. I'm like, I'm telling you, I'm one. Brother Love's raining in right now. It sucks. We're one of the few metal fans left, and I don't know. So rigid.
Jim Florentine.
Yeah, it does blow. It really.
Eddie
does.
Trunk is the worst. Like, at least Florentine is a performer, and so is Jim, but like, and so they're bad, but. Eddie Trunk is like a radio guy, so he's even the worst. Like, and I actually had a joke about something like that. He's so fat, he got stuck in 1983.
Okay.
He's just the worst.
Towards the start of the show, Rich Voss threw to a video tribute to the late comedian. It showed clips from one of his performances at Comics, the very place you guys were at, as well as his hour special from Comedy Central, Midlife Vices, and, of course, Comedy Central Roasts. By the way, the event last night was originally planned to be a roast of Giraldo, this person says. To say the least, it was bittersweet to watch Greg perform on screen. Voss did a masterful job, not only as the roast master, but as the tone setter. Should you have been the roast master?
No, because I was given a role that was good for my first time doing it. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, nobody, that would have been too weird an expectation, given that before this roast, people didn't really know what I was capable of,
Were you nervous?
Yeah, I was, because...
Let's see how you are.
Yeah. Not to be sacrilegious at all, but it was kind of my coming out from Greg's shadow party in a way, like a little bit, because nobody really, people knew I wrote for him, but they didn't know, I think, the extent to which I did. And I think nobody expected me to crush, really,
Right.
So I think that it would have been odd, because even like the other people on the dais, like I'm not, like I know those guys, but I'm not like in their crew. Like I'm not like friends with some of those dudes. So I think they were kind of like, Jesse's going to go up and say something about Greg. And then, then we'll move on with the roast. Like that kind of a thing.
First, we'll let the bar mitzvah kid talk. And adults will dance.
Yeah, but I did know, like, these people have no idea. Like, I'm going to fucking destroy them. I felt that way, but I was still nervous about it in the same way that, like, I hope they give me a chance,
And you liked the way it went.
Oh, yeah. I thought it went great. Yeah.
I heard he killed. And this is not, from right. Jesse, of course. This is from people who were
there.
There's
been a lot of buzz about the fact that I had a pretty, arguably super tight set.
Now, did they record that?
Yeah. The audio is on the... I thought that's what you were going to do here.
No, I didn't know there was audio.
Yeah, you go to YouTube. You just type in Jesse Joyce Florentine Roast, and there's okay. My set is up there.
I don't know how I would be at these roasts, because I would say, I watched the metal show. This is fucking terrible. Next person.
Right.
It's not jokes per se.
Right.
You are a fat bitch.
Yeah.
Next person.
That's the thing. Is there is an art to it that a lot of people don't get. And sometimes they just go up and just say awful things about people.
That's me.
I hope you get a disease. What? That's not even a joke.
I really hate you.
Yeah.
And your wife looks at me funny. Next. Early in the show, Rich Voss said this. I wasn't the first choice to host. Greg Giraldo was asked, but he said he'd rather be dead than host this. And from that moment on, it seemed okay to joke about Giraldo's untimely passing. I suppose that's what he'd want. I have to say, this reporter, I was a bit reticent at first.
Reticent.
Reticent. I was gonna skip it and say reluctant.
All right.
But I went for it.
Well, that's the, you got the context. You knew exactly what it meant.
Oh, gee, what could she mean?
Right. I was a bit thrilled at first. But when comedian Jesse Joyce took the stage, my mind changed. If you don't know, Jesse was Giraldo's frequent opener on the road, as well as his rating partner for a lot of the roasts. Together in friendship, they struggled through a lot of similar problems. Joyce opened like this, referring to Florentine's cranky anchor's special ed character. That's one that's just like, yay, yay.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for having me. I know a lot of you guys don't know me, and it's kind of bittersweet to be here because this was going to be the next project Greg and I worked on together. I remember when he asked me to help him with this roast before he died, I asked him, what do you want to do for this thing? And he said to me, ideally, I'd love to take an entire bag of pharmaceuticals and stop my own heart so I don't have to roast the Sebastian Bach of retard jokes.
That was the opener. So, like, that set a tone, I think. You know?
He followed up later in his rapid fire joke storm with this, referring in part to Voss's cartoonishly white teeth. It was really tragic when Greg passed away, and when that happened, I think we all thought, why? Why couldn't it have been Voss? And the answer is because you can't overdose on Extends and Crest White strips. Later in the show, Voss's wife, comedian Bonnie McFarland, took the podium and pointed out that there was an empty chair on stage.
This was a great joke. I really love this joke.
She says it's a great gesture, explaining that it symbolizes Giraldo's absence. McFarlane went on to say that Voss has been keeping 150 seats empty for every show he does in order to pay tribute to Giraldo. This is her husband. In fact, he was doing it even before Greg died.
She had another great one, too, about Jim Norton and just how fucking hideous he is. You know, just like what a troll he looks like, you know. And then she goes, but he is really funny. I mean, that guy is hilarious. But still, wouldn't you rather not be a monster? It's fucking great. That's hilarious.
Sean from Calgary is writing in based on this is a Florentine roast. Right. I don't know that you should really roast a Florentine. I think that's better to bake it.
Now, how would that go? Funny stuff for sure, but it was all in the proper context, and that's what made it great and completely permissible.
So you wouldn't have passed that joke as like, yes, you can use that for the roast.
No.
No?
No.
Better baked?
No, it's such an overdone trick to do the double entendre of the word roast having something to do with cooking. Like, everybody...
No, Jim Florentine. He was on that, you would that movie.
What movie?
Oh, am I
getting
the wrong
guy? No, they're saying,
guy?
like fucking whatever Florentine is like a style of cooking.
Right.
You know, like...
Oh, I'm thinking he's the guy from the movie where, like, you smoke too much.
No, Half-Baked? No, yeah, that was Dave Chappelle.
All right.
Yeah.
Who cares?
No, the gag was like what? I don't even know. I don't know anything about cooking, but like, you know, eggs Florentine you can order. And like, so he was saying like, you bake it. You don't roast it.
I thought he was the co-person on Half-Baked.
Are you thinking Jim Brewer?
Yes, you are thinking Jim Brewer.
You know what? Who cares? They're all comics. I think it's fine.
Right.
I'd allow it. Yeah. These were Greg's friends doing what they've dedicated their lives to, making people laugh, but it was also his friends healing, and it was something special to see happen. So there you go.
Nice.
By the way, when you go to your website, jessejoyce.com,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you're not drinking, you're mm-hmm. not doing drugs, who cares if you're smoking and having coffee once in a while, but every single picture almost is you and a cigarette.
Yeah, I know.
Is that promoting anything? Don't get me wrong. People say, like, smoking's worse than crack. I would lend a friend an Xbox game that smoked and expect to get it back. You know what I mean? I think smoking isn't worse than crack. But when people say smoking, and I've said this, smoking doesn't make you look cool. It makes you look very cool, and Jesse knows it. Yeah. Every fucking picture is in smoking.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was fucking setting a tone. That's all I was doing. That's when I had no intention, really, of quitting and was just, like, I'm a smoker. That's what I'm all about. And then, like, you know, now I kind of feel like at some point I should probably...
It's on your
redo those photos.
It's I saw his acting resume, and proficient in Spanish, smoking.
You fucking people!
Hey,
will
speaking,
not let that go.
Speaking, can you imagine? Speaking of Sebastian Bach, by the way, the rock singer was released on $3,000 bail after he was charged with assault, accused of biting a bartender at an Ontario bar Monday morning.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
I believe it. I believe this 100%. Remember that, what was that show he was in where he was a super group, Ted Nugent, some other people.
Oh, Firehouse or something, wasn't it?
No.
Damn Yankees.
No.
No.
It was a TV show. You're not going to get a guess of names. It was a reality TV show, and they just formed a band. I don't know if they ever came out with the CD. And you know, he Savage Animal was the name of the band. He's like, Savage Animal.
Is that what they named it?
Yeah, it was his. Oh, he kept going until they're like, fuck it, let's end it. That's a stupid name, though. He's like, no, think about it. Savage Animal. And he was a real asshole, and he's not showing up to rehearsal, and he's a spoiled brat. Bach was charged with possession of marijuana and mischief and was later taken to Toronto to answer to a six-year-old warrant. Totally different. He had a warrant for a mischief charge that was $5,000 he owed from something else.
Mischief? That sounds adorable.
Kind of, yeah, it does. There's no mischief that goes up to $5,000.
That's something you'd arrest a leprechaun for. For mischief.
He, of course, is the lead singer of the 80s rock band Skid Row, now lives in New Jersey. He was raised in Ontario. Early Monday morning, police allege Bach, whose real name is Sebastian Bjerk, B-I-E-R-K.
Really?
I didn't think it was Sebastian Bach. I didn't think it was his real name.
I guess not. By the way, I think the show was called Supergroup. No?
Maybe. He was at Riley's Old Town Pub on Peterborough when he got into a dispute with the staff. Now, keep in mind, this is a Sunday night when they say Monday morning.
Oh, okay.
So this is some early hours or late hours, however you look at it. According to the pub owner, Bach and a few of his friends approached the pub's musician of the evening and asked if they could sing. The singer plays the bar four times a week. He asked Bach to talk to management. They didn't. Instead, Bach and his friends sat down and began to heckle the singer, and Bach began throwing ice cubes at him, asking if he knew who he was. Do you know who the fuck I am? I'm from 1987.
Yeah, yeah. You don't own a you never heard of a cassette tape?
Like, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I still dig Skid Row, but you're almost, that's not something you brag. You hope to get recognized. It'd be nice, but you don't go around Skid Row right here.
Yeah, that's
what are we watching?
Sad.
You two? What, sad. I'm Skid Row.
Yeah, I would think it would be cool to bump into Sebastian Bach. Right. At this point, he's such a douchebag, I wouldn't want to say anything to him. But as, you know, as a person who's supposed to be performing that night, dude, it might be my turn. You know? I mean, you had the 80s.
Staff stepped in and asked Sebastian Bach to stop. As he was walked to the door just after midnight, police said he was told he couldn't leave with the glass of wine he was carrying, so Sebastian Bach threw the wine at the front doors, shattering the glass.
Saying, do you know who I am?
Right. While waiting for police to arrive, a scuffle ensued. The owner ended up putting Sebastian Bach in a bear hug, which is a bear hug's a really weird move to make. Like, you're just going to hold him until police come? Yeah. And Bach couldn't get out, so he bit the dude's hand. Where do you think it's going to go? He said he didn't know why Bach was so riled up and laughed. Maybe it's a rock star thing. Nah, it's a douchebag thing. Yeah. Sporting his trademark messy, long-dyed blonde hair, Bach frowned in the prisoner's box as his charges were read Monday morning. He was wearing, if you're curious, a black leather jacket with blue and gray detail, a black hoodie, and black jeans. Looking gaunt as ever.
Still has it.
Man. He still has it. Oh, man.
Yeah, more people would recognize him from Gilmore Girls at this point.
Maybe.
Yeah, remember he even said that on when he was in the supergroup. When he wasn't getting recognized, he was like, remember me from this, remember me from that. Okay, remember me from Gilmore Girls? Mm. And then people recognized him.
Right.
Well, that's more current.
That's so funny, though.
You know?
18 in life, huh?
Gilmore Girls. Now, yeah. I'm the wine-drinking fucking has-been, you know?
I do remember. In that show, Supergroup, I do remember they were watching the Gilmore Girls. He's like, all right, everybody, shut up. It's me. Shut up. Watch this.
Yeah, shouldn't you be embarrassed around other awesome rockers?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's what you did, and I think Gilmore Girls was great and good. Make a little, you know, make a little money, do something, you know, silly. You're a drummer on the Sting with a bunch of teenagers. Fine. But Ted Nugent is in the house.
Right. If you're the manager or agent of Sebastian Bach, do you think, like, all right, maybe he could make some kind of comeback, but I know he's such an asshole. I didn't know he was such an asshole. We know he's such an asshole. Don't put him on a reality show. It'll turn off what few fans he has left. It really turns me off. I didn't realize this guy was such an asshole. I didn't know one way or another.
I don't know.
Yeah, but no, I mean, everybody on the Jersey Shore is an asshole, and people, like, they got huge because of that. You know what I mean?
True.
Like people, reality show, like,
but
that
you never
is,
liked the situation.
The asshole is, like, the fucking one that people care about.
But there's a difference. Like, there's a difference between, I could see why people would get into the situation, believe it or not, and be turned off by Sebastian Bach, going like, I didn't know this guy was a douche. You know the situation's a douche from the get-go. You know where Snooki's coming from. You don't go, I like Snooki's music. I didn't realize, oh, man, this turns me off. I didn't realize she was I liked such an asshole.
I see what you're saying, but I feel like the people who are going to be great Sebastian Bach fans are already his fans, and they're not buying that many tickets if and when he's on the road.
You didn't think that he's a douche? Like
Sebastian Bach, how would I know? No, I thought his songs were good, and that's all I know. What am I going to know?
Right. I think back in the day, we didn't get that much access into our heroes' lives.
No, you had Parade magazine. I don't know if that's the same as Hit Parader, and you had something else, maybe Kerrang. And you know that you used to read the interviews for a magazine. What's his thoughts on remaking Every Rose Has a Thorn? You know, and that's all you had. Now you're seeing these people, and you're like, whoa, we liked some douches.
Yeah, and also, who knows if those guys were actually interviewed or it was their PR person that says, here's the answer to this question, this question, this question. You know,
right? Yeah, it is always tragic when a guy who, like a washed up musician or whatever, I don't know if I ever tell you a story, but. I have this friend, this girl that I know, she's an actress in Nashville, and that's where they make, like, those hundreds of stupid Hannah Montana movies that they just churn out every couple of weeks, you know, like those straight-to-DVD, whatever. So she was, like, auditioning for, like, the role of, like, somebody's mom or something, like, friend of Hannah Montana, whatever. So she had to go and read with Billy Ray Cyrus at his house in Nashville, right? So they did the read, like, for the part. And then as soon, like the second that they were like, all right, great, thanks a lot. And they put their scripts down. He goes, hey, can I show you something? And she's like, sure, okay. So he takes her into this other room and he goes, this is going to blow your mind. You're going to love this.
This is Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah. And he puts in a tape. And it's like the original recording of Achy Breaky Heart. Like the first thing that he did. And she just was like staring, like flabbergasted, like... Yeah, I know what I know you from. Like, you would think that you would want to distance yourself.
No. This is bare bones.
Yeah, but that's what he was like. He was like, no, listen, this is how I knew that this song was going to be huge, you know? And it was just like, ugh.
Shouldn't you be concerned that your daughter is dating rapists? Like, what are you doing?
This was a couple years ago. This is like 2 or 3 years ago, by the way. Not that it makes me any better.
She was dating rapists back then,
too. Was she?
Oh, okay. Yes, Keith, you're looking at me funny, but yes, a 16-year-old who is dating a 21-year-old, 16-year-old little girl, that is rape.
I agree. I think it's very strange and very strange that everybody's okay with
that. Yeah, they're just fine. Oh, how old's your boyfriend? They ask her on the radio. He's like 22. Aren't you 16?
Right.
Oh, dear.
She's wise.
It's Tennessee. There's consent. That's allowed to happen in Tennessee.
I think with like a goat and a blessing, you're allowed to. Fuck somebody's something. Some, which brings us to this. Jesse Joyce's wedding. I had a great time.
Yes, good.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being there.
I feel like an asshole because during the reception and, you know, people were giving the speeches. I think I was in the bathroom when you thanked me. But I want to know that I'm sure you did. And
you don't give a speech at your own wedding.
Oh, you didn't?
Nobody does.
Well, people gave speeches, but you don't.
No. The groom isn't supposed to fucking get up and give a speech.
I just thought, like, thanks everybody for being here. I didn't know.
No, you don't do that.
Oh, I thought I missed it.
No.
Okay.
Nobody does that.
All right, you want to say anything now?
I said I was glad you were there.
You're welcome, bud.
It was about me, fucker.
Okay, right, but...
It wasn't about you. And it wasn't even about me. It was about Haley. That's what it was about. I have no illusions. It has nothing to do with me.
After all the planning for the wedding, did it go smoothly?
Yeah, it did. But yeah. Nothing went wrong. Like, it went great, and she was super happy. And but, you know, like, you knew going in, like, I fucking hate weddings. Like, they're just dumb to me. Like,
I know, that was a nice invite when you handed the invite to us and said, I hate it,
sorry,
you'll hate it.
I know, yeah.
You know what, I know you guys aren't together again, but you're stuck, okay? I can't.
and I fucking, like, I was thinking to myself, like, leading up to it, like, this, my own wedding, is either going to break that for me, and I will go, like, you know what? I usually hate weddings, but mine was awesome. Right. Or it was going to completely confirm it for me, and that confirmed it for
me. You know you don't want to do this again.
Never. Like, I'm going to make it work out with her, because I will fucking never do that again.
I saw Jesse, of course, at the end of the wedding and everything, when everything's done, you know, a little after party, that
They're
kind of
carrying
thing.
Carrying the things to the car.
Right. Yeah, right. Okay, at the end of the reception, even.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like he just... I don't know what. Chugged all the leftover booze. His face is white. He's like, kill me. I mean, I don't know.
I want to make it clear. I love Haley, and I couldn't be happier right now. Like, I'm thrilled that we are married to each other. Like, she's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, and I love her completely. I just fucking hated that day. It was just like over. It was just ostentatious, and you just have to like fucking, you know, like you're just a schedule. Like, oh, now's time to fucking throw the garter belt at somebody. Like, why? Like, why do we have to do that? Like, I don't want to do that. Who gives a shit? It's stupid.
What happens now? Now there's something. They're trying not to make it sexist. What happens? What's with the garter belt? Like, it's you take it off of Haley, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you give it to the best. You throw it or give it to
yeah,
the best man.
You throw it to somebody.
And then that guy.
One of the guys catches it.
And puts it on a bridesmaid, right?
Well, no. Then the girl, the bride, throws the flowers. And then that's supposed to indicate who the next, you know, squawking twat is to get married.
But what happens with the. With the garter belt.
So then the person who caught the bouquet and the guy who caught the fucking thing, then he has to put the garter on her.
But what if it doesn't fit?
Do you it know stops what I mean? At like, the ankle.
No joke.
I've seen that.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, Haley has like, you know, nice long legs right. and like no fat on them.
Right.
Oh, the opposite of what I'm thinking. It falls down. Right.
Oh, what about that also?
It's like you're doing it twice. Do you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah. You like double band it. Yeah.
Goodness.
I understand they're elastic, but still, yeah. If it's the opposite,
yeah,
it's falling down.
I don't know, but
but there was something like Pat was telling me this. So you do that, and it just seemed like a sexist thing. But now it's like taken off of the girl and then put on a guy or something like that. There was something where it's like. It's not a guy thing. It gets done to a girl, and there's some kind of political correctness thing. Do you know what I'm talking about or not?
That happened at our wedding?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
What?
It was like something was put on the girl, and then something was also put like up on a guy's leg.
Maybe you
like
to make
it. No. That was the girl who caught the bouquet. That was her being funny.
Oh,
she then turned it around and did it to him.
Like, okay.
You know,
I thought they were taking the magic.
Because
you
were having a good
this.
Time with it. No. So,
but
that's the thing. It's like everybody else seemed to be having a great time. Like it was like, wow, sure. People like this kind of a thing. Like I just don't. You know, I was just like, I'm gonna get glitter on me.
It's
like,
it's a big wedding. People are walking over to you to say congratulations. Are you like? I do want to make a speech. It's all good. Sit down.
Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't. I only let like my close friends, like you guys. Like I only alluded to the fact that like.
You're open to be
like to you guys, like, but I sure. to everybody else, I was like, oh, thanks for coming.
No, of course, you know, can you imagine?
Yeah, but
is it like, all right, come on, enough?
Yeah. And this might sound like I don't know. I think anybody who's ever gotten married, like, and it was like a big wedding, they'll understand this. This might sound extraordinarily douchey, but there were some people because like, half the room we didn't even fucking see, you know, like right. We didn't get to, you know, and that's a shame because like some people came from Florida or L.A. or mm-hmm. what, you know what I mean, and like just didn't even get to fucking devote any time to them at all. And I appreciated that they came, but there were just like just these people who like. Took in your head while you're talking to them, while they're talking to you, you're like, okay, like you don't realize, like, don't you recognize that you have taken up far more time right. than you are important to right. this dynamic? You know what I mean? Like, I just met you right now and you've been talking to me for 14 minutes. My own mom hasn't seen me yet. You know what I mean? Like, right. you know, and like, yeah, it was somebody's fucking wife, who knows, like on right. her side or whatever, who was just like, so you're a comedian. What's that like? And it's like, lady, I'm not going to fucking do a newspaper interview with you right now. I'm at my own wedding. You know, it's like shit like that was happening a lot.
You picked good guys to be your groomsmen.
Yeah.
Ray DeVito comes up to you during the reception and says, hey, I'm going to go do a show. Is that cool?
Ray.
And Jesse's like, I don't know. I don't know what you have to do.
Yeah,
is it cool? What did they tell you? Did they tell you it's cool?
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the whole thing. Like, my whole fucking goal was to get through that day without ruining it for her. Like, you know right. what I mean? Like, because there was a schedule, and there was like, oh, at some point I got to cut the cake, and then there's got to be some fucking dance with my mom, and there's got to be all this, like, which was sweet, by the way. I love my dance with my mom. Like, sure. that's not. But you know what I mean? Like, there was like a regimented schedule of shit, right. and that fucking DJ kept coming over to me to go, like, 15 minutes, you got to be, you know, and I was like, Jesus Christ, like, just let it be over, right? And then during all that, like, you know, Ray, like, you know, all of the fucking groomsmen had assignments, and Ray just comes up, he's like, I'm gonna go do a spot, is that cool? And I was like, yeah, I guess, I don't know, weirdest guy on the planet, like, who would fucking ask that? Like, it doesn't bother me, but it's just fucking weird, you know? Yeah,
what are you gonna say? No, can you enjoy my wedding?
Yeah. And then apparently he took off with Pat, and then he smoked weed, and as soon as he smoked weed, he was like, I can't believe I did that. I got to go back, you know, because Ray has no foresight ever and never has. He just makes spontaneous decisions like a fucking orangutan would, and then afterwards he's like, ah, what did I do?
Well, I don't, you know, he's never really had a long relationship with anyone, right?
No.
So I feel like that's part of it, because he doesn't...
No, he's no? just the All most right. oddly motivated person in the world. Pat and I were talking about it the other day. He came over to Pat's apartment to do something, like to work on some like video or whatever they were doing.
Pat Dixon,
and,
of course.
Pat Dixon, yeah, yeah.
Oh, and yeah, then, for the Asylum video, I think.
Yeah, and then at the end, Ray's just like, hey, do you mind if I shave? And it was just like, no, not really, but it's just weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, why would you come... You know, I'm here at your house. Wouldn't it be weird if at the end of this show I just said, like, hey, you guys, I'm just going to run in real quick and shave.
Oh,
like,
it's not for the video.
No, at the end of the he was going to leave. Like, he was on his way out the door, and he was like, I better shave real fast in fucking Pat's apartment. Like, that's what I mean. It's just, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just right. fucking bizarre.
What's weirder, if he brings his shaving equipment or doesn't?
Yeah, 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 but he just, yeah, he'll bring it with him just on the off chance that somebody will let him shave there. You know what I mean? It's just like... His just motivations are so fucking bizarre to me, you know?
And then Keith Alberstadt, we were talking to him about this 2 days before the wedding. He goes,
oh, that he brought some chick?
Hey, I'm bringing somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually, you know, and Keith is the one who's like the most like sincere and concerned of like all of he, right. He's the one who's like the most afraid to offend anybody, you know?
Right.
And then, yeah, like just all of a sudden, he was like, oh, by the way, I'm bringing this chick I just met. And it's like... All right, I'm going to hear about that from my mother-in-law for sure. Like,
you know
thanks
what?
For that.
You say how he's the most concerned, but I think he has qualities that Ray has. It's like, I don't see what the big deal is. I'm going to bring somebody. Well, it's going to make my mother-in-law's head fucking explode.
Yeah,
you don't
yeah,
understand.
Yeah, yeah.
People don't know her. Where does she sit? I have to change the scene.
And it's $100 a person if
right.
you decide to come. So like now that is a... budget factor that we didn't include, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like that kind of a thing.
But he was on our show last, and he says, you know, I'm doing a spot somewhere, and I'm gonna give away Keith and the Girl stuff, and says, oh, by the way, can I get some Keith and the Girl stuff? I thought it was very funny, because obviously that's not the way it happened. Obviously Hemden and him already talked about it, and so he
okay.
was making a joke about it.
No, did you explain, sir? We're on the show, like you're a guest, you have a show
yeah,
later
like
on
live,
tonight.
We're on the show,
yeah,
right.
And you go, by the way, I'm doing a spot tonight, and I'm going to be giving away Keith and the Girl stuff. And Keith and I both laugh, and I thought maybe he spoke to you, no. Keith, before the show.
So the point is, he didn't speak to either of us. He was really asking, like, I'm going to give it away. Hey, can I get some stuff?
And then so, after the show, he said, like, oh, by the way, can I get some sweatshirts?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to, I don't care, you know.
It's still, yeah, yeah.
Of course you can have stuff that you're, you know, you're giving away. But how do you know that everything in here isn't accounted for in a very specific
oh, yeah, yeah,
way?
Yeah.
Because we are moving. Very
right.
soon. And how do you know if we didn't sell out? We're just like slowly, you know,
right,
sending
right.
the shit out.
Yeah, but, that's a weird thing.
Do you know what I mean?
But they really are both children. Keith was late to coming to this show. It's like 5 minutes until showtime.
Oh,
can
yeah.
I order a pizza? Well, can you, Keith? Can you order a pizza?
Right.
No, unless like best case
yeah, yeah,
scenario.
Yeah, that
so
weird
that,
too. Right.
Best case scenario so that he's not an idiot. Is he's that's his tricky way of saying, can you feed me? Like, that's the
right.
best way I can look at it. Not like, yes, let's call a place and order some pizza.
Because you
right.
know how they come in 5 minutes, especially
yeah, yeah,
where
yeah,
we
yeah.
live? You know?
Yeah, it's going to come a half hour into the show, and then it's like, hang on, everybody, I got to go pay for my pizza. Yeah, it's just.
So what are you saying? I should leave the door open so we can hear it?
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. And it's like, you know it's weird because no one has ever done that so far. You
right.
know, like, that's what I mean. And like, no one has ever asked to shave in my car before except Ray. So you're like, all right, that's weird. Right. Yeah. But where the fuck are we going with this? There's something about Keith that I was going to bring up, and I don't remember. Shit.
Keith Alberstadt is like a child. He has childlike qualities just like Ray.
Keith yeah. Alberstadt did not thank us in his new CD.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, there you go. He didn't? Are you fuck? Good. That motherfucker, from now on, make him do that shit.
Oh,
do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, he needs to thank me now.
I had to do that
when
for fucking
it.
Years. My
fuck
new CD
that.
That's coming out soon,
you
it should be out by Christmas. Trust me.
Tell
you're
him,
covered.
Tell
but
him he needs to learn how to spell Chemda.
What, did he spell it wrong? Or it's not
no,
even in there?
No, it's not in there. But you know what? You've been thanking Keith on yours. Now he needs to thank Chemda on each and every one that he sells
yeah, yeah,
live.
Yeah, yeah go ahead.
Because he thanked Jesse Joyce. The fuck did you do for him?
I fucking did a lot for Keith.
I'm just kidding.
I've done plenty for Keith.
I'm just fucking
around. No, but you know what? It's funny because Keith is really like a clever and sometimes like... He just throws shit at the wall as far as like he's like really good at promoting himself,
right.
you know, and it's funny that he
yeah,
just would volunteer to go like, I'm gonna give away sweatshirts, you know, for you guys. And likewise, I've been making fun of him for exploiting the troops on this fucking CD. It's a brilliant marketing strategy, but he, like, if you notice, it's really big all over that CD, like, recorded in Iraq for the troops.
Well, he does, in his defense, he has bonus tracks that were from Iraq.
I know, and I am not genuinely, right. Like, I think it actually was a brilliant idea, and it was cool that he did it, but this motherfucker.
You think it's too much?
He gives, like, a speech, you know, like, I did shows for the troops, everybody, so I'm a good patriot, buy my CD.
I tell you what, he volunteered to give away our shit. I'm volunteering to give away Keith Alberstadt's CD. I'm not kidding. Keithandthegirl.com/store.
Come to April 15th, and she will have a box of free Keith Alberstadt CDs.
I will pick someone who purchases something today to just throw this CD into their box. I am not kidding. Keithandthegirl.com/store. One of you will have a Keith Alberstadt CD in there. And you know what? I'm signing my name on it. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, sign it.
Signing my name on it.
It is a good CD, by the way, for those of you who are curious.
There we go.
Yeah.
And if you you email Keith Alberstadt, first 20 copies free.
Yeah. He'll do that for you.
He's a good guy. He's a really good guy.
Yeah. Nah, he is a great guy. He's good people.
That's the worst. Bless his heart.
Yeah. You know who really did come through at the wedding was Andy. Andy Hendrickson. He really fucking stepped up, that guy.
Andy Hendrickson is thanked on Keith Alberstadt's CD.
But he was the one. I knew it was going to be somebody. He's the guy who left his fucking tuxedo jacket. I knew it was going to be one of my irresponsible dude friends. And I assumed I would have bet $1,000 it would have been Ray, but it wasn't. It was Andy.
And what happens? Is it under your card or something?
No, Dan Allen actually saved the day. He, like, grabbed it, and Andy had already taken off. And fucking.
Well, Dan Allen, though, he was just grabbing shit. He has your feathers. Yeah.
He's going to build a little nest with him and live in the woods. So.
Ben Vaha sent this to me. I didn't get a chance to read it. I just skimmed it real quick, but he always sends interesting things. A former bride-to-be is now paralyzed and has put off plans to marry after a bachelorette party prank went terribly wrong.
Oh, dear.
Ben Vaha sent this to me, and then under it, he wrote, oops, my bad. So I'm interested. Rochelle Friedman was paralyzed from the chest down after her best friend and bridesmaid pushed her into the shallow end of a pool. She's 25 years old, Friedman. She snapped her neck and floated to the surface. Ha ha.
Oh, my God.
While Friedman and her fiancé, Chris Chapman, remain a couple, health insurance has kept the pair from tying the knot. Friedman's health insurance is limited, and she must rely on Medicaid to cover the cost of her care. Marrying Chapman would mean that their combined income would disqualify her from receiving government help. The opposite of why people say this is why you should get married.
Oh, do you think the guys go, shoo.
Yeah, shoo, I got to change diapers forever.
Yeah, fuck that.
Now, it's bad enough, obviously. You know, your whole life changed. You're paralyzed now. But she also was a aerobics and dance instructor.
Oh, dear.
No.
Yeah. And she was always worried about an accident like this. She says, I was always kind of scared something was going to mess up my perfect world. It was literally perfect, but it completely changed, and that can happen to anyone. Well, anyone that has douchebag friends.
Yeah.
No, it really can happen to anyone. I just think, like, silly jokes, like, you know, you run and you turn the corner, you hit someone, suddenly they fall the wrong way, and they hit the head exactly the right way to die or something. You know, I don't know. I think things like this can happen all the time.
I don't know. So if I'm with this girl and she goes, Keith, you don't leave the house much. I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? Okay, I don't. So I'm going to go walk to the fridge.
Meanwhile, more shit happened to you than did me in the time that we lived in this house together. Okay, breaking toe?
You break a toe.
I didn't break a toe.
Ah, Kenda said you have 10 seconds to get into bed. So I ran into bed and I broke my toe.
Why?
I don't know why.
What was going to happen to you if you didn't?
We were being cute. It was 5 a.m.
Oh, okay.
But I've learned that
I will break all of your toes if you don't get into bed in the next 10 seconds.
But I've learned that even if things do change, you can still make your world perfect. It's just extremely different, and we do everything differently now. Man, you know what? And it's like...
That is unfortunate.
And it's a shame. You were going to marry a woman that wasn't paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Let's just look for a better prize.
That's a shame.
That's something.
Oh, well, there's that.
Dear Keith and Chemda, my name is Cecile. I'm 19, 36B. I give 365 shits about this email. How long have you been married now?
That's a shit year? A day. wait, how long have I been married? What day is today? The 8th?
17th.
17th? Yeah, 5 days shy of a month. So,
you still faithful?
Yeah, I'm not fucking around yet.
Okay.
So...
Even I'm just saying, this girl's 19, 36.
I don't know
B's.
If I'm gonna fuck around on my first wife.
Okay, Okay. She's going to the University of Calgary. That's very clever. Mm. You really are the champ. Yeah. You really are the best in the business. Hey, number one, this guy. Going to university in Calgary, living in on campus housing with three other girls. I live with one awful roommate, and your show really helps me survive whenever I need to be home. I want to bitch about her and get your guys' opinion on how bad of a roommate she is. Okay, here we go.
All right.
First of all, I like that it's not her parents.
Yeah,
that pleases me.
Yeah.
One, the weirdest thing that she does is she is so loud. If she knows that I'm home, she is much louder. She will be watching Friends in her room on YouTube or Two and a Half Men in the living room.
Already, completely. She watches Two and a Half Men. Fuck her.
And she pushes out her laugh. I know because one time she didn't know I was home and all I could hear was the TV. I came out of my room and made breakfast. And from then on, the laughing was loud. And recently, she has started doing more than laughing. Like, I'll be taking a shit in the bathroom right by her room and hear her shouting, "Oh my God, that just did not happen. That is so funny. Oh, he did not just say that." Or something along these lines. I really don't get it. I had a roommate like this. One-Eyed Davis I used to talk about before. But he was a roommate that if he wouldn't know I was home. And he's just watching TV normally. A sitcom. Once in a while, you're like, hmm, you know, they got me. But if he knew I was home, John Cryer!
Right.
Cryer!
Yeah, and then, because they want you to go like, oh, what's going on? You're like, nah, I'm in the middle of this. Like, hang on. You know, like, right. Oh, I fucking, you're right. I know that thing.
Oh, you're interested? It's, you know, I know it's on one of my CDs, but it's how my dad read the newspaper. And he would read the newspaper, and if you're around,
interesting. Yeah.
Would you look at that?
Yeah.
And you're like,
that is an obnoxious quality.
You're not looking at me. You're not talking to me. Maybe this will just go away. I'll be. It's like, all right, Dad, what are you looking at? Oh, you want to know? Wow. You really got to make this difficult.
I don't mean to derail this because I want to get back to this. This is interesting. But I worked with this dude on the road once, and I believe his name was Derek Cameron, right?
Okay.
He's a douchey comic. There's a Derek Richards. One of the two of them is very cool. The one who's a black guy from Seattle, not cool. Right? So I'm covering my bases. The other one, very cool. I always mix up their two names. But the point is...
Wow, he's that cool, huh?
No. I mean, I don't really know him, but I don't have a problem with that other guy. But this guy...
You know what? By the way, this is like a political ad that I'm confused who to vote for.
Yeah. I just wanted to make it clear. Like, I didn't want to fucking say his name and then have it be the wrong one. And then a guy's like, why are you talking shit about me? Like, because the one guy's okay. But the one...
Just tell me what somebody did.
Yeah, so he fucking... This guy, he, like, I was stuck in a condo with him. You know how, like, sometimes, like, comedy clubs will give you a condo as opposed to a hotel, and then you and the other comedian live together, right, for a week. And so we're there, this guy was just one of those, he would do that constantly. He was, like, such a blowhard about, he would just be sitting on the couch, and I swear to God, this is what he was, like, he'd just be watching TV, and he'd go, man, this is weird. And so I was, like, making a sandwich in the kitchen, and I'm like, all right, clearly he wants me to fucking, you know, like, what's weird, Derek? You know, and he goes, oh, no, nothing. It's cool. And I was like, no, really. All right, what's weird? He goes, well, I just, you know, I don't know. It's weird for me not making 10 grand a week. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah. And then he goes, yeah, you know, usually I'm used to making 10 grand a week. And, you know, they usually put me up in like 5-star hotel or whatever. So this is just a little weird. And I was like, wow, what a fucking supremely shitty week this is for you then. Like, I'm really sorry that I'm fucking pissing on your fucking schedule, you know, like, or whatever. And so he did that. And then, then later this is a thing that blew my mind. We were standing there selling CDs after the show. And, I watched him out of the corner of my eye pull out a fucking piece of paper from his pocket. He just pulled it out. Right. And then, like, I saw it out of the corner and then he showed it to me. As though a girl had just given it. It was like a girl's phone number. Like, right. He wanted me to know that a girl just gave his... But she didn't. He took it out of his pocket. Like, I watched him do it. And it was like, why are you doing... And he goes, hey, check this out, man. Look what I just... Like, this chick just gave me... And I was like, oh, hey, you know, good for you. You going to call her? And he goes, you know what? If it's not a threesome, it's not worth my time. I was like, you're an asshole. And then, like, he went to a strip club one night. And he was at the strip club. And he came back. And he was like... And I was like, how did it go? Like, at this point, like, I didn't care, but I was like, how did it go? And he was like, oh, yeah, there's two chicks. They're probably going to, you know, hit it off pretty great. They're going to come to the show on Saturday. And it's like, you know I'm going to be here on Saturday when that doesn't happen. Like, why are you fucking lying like this? Like, I know it's not true. And then the best part is that 2 weeks later, Ray worked with him at a fucking one-nighter in Corbin, Kentucky, where he must have been making fucking $75 for that gig. You know what I mean? And it's like... What are the odds that the only 2 weeks on your schedule that you're not making $10,000 and staying in a 5-star hotel coincidentally happen to be the 2 weeks that fucking roommates work with you, you know?
Right. Now, it's weird when you know these liars, and they tell you a story that we're going to figure out. Angelina Jolie, I'm not shitting you, will be in this house Friday, and I'm going to fuck her. And it's like, really? So do we just wait till Friday until you bring up the excuse? Like,
yeah.
Dude, funny story about Angelina Jolie if you're coming to visit me just for that.
Just
leave me a message.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if you're going to lie, at least make it something that, like, I'm not going to be able to fucking call you out on later.
Later? Right away. You know, there is no later. I know you're lying right now. What do I do? What do I do? How come I have to pretend I'm stupid right now?
How come
I have to bring up acting skills in order to talk to you?
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't say, hey, I bet you won't get a threesome no fucking way this week because you're such a loser douchebag. I didn't say that.
Well, I won't now with that attitude. Yeah. You really bummed me out.
Ray has a great story about this other guy. He's a pathological liar. He's in comedy, right? And just pathological. And so Ray, they're working together in Grand Rapids at this club that I've done a bunch. And the thing, it's the hotel is nowhere near the club. Like, it's fucking 18 miles away, which is a nuisance for most comics if you drink.
Because
then you have to drive 18 miles like a little buzzed. You know, it's dangerous, right?
Right.
So Ray has some cocktails after the show. And they drove together. So at the end of the night, he says to this guy, he's like, hey, would you do me a favor? Would you mind driving? I've had a couple drinks, so you mind driving? And the guy's like, nah, I don't drive other people's cars. And he goes, yeah, I know, but I've had some drinks, so would you? And he was like, nah, I can't do it. And he was like, all right, so I'll drunk drive us home then. You know, like, it was just a weird. So they get in the car and they're driving. And this guy, his whole act, he lies about being a cop. He never was a cop. But his whole thing. And cops will call in to the radio or whatever, and they'll go like, that's not.
He'll do a radio show to promote
it. Or whatever. Yeah. Or like, even after a show, certain cops will come up to him and they'll go like, I don't. That's not how that works. Like, I don't know,
right.
You know, but his whole thing is how he used to be a cop and how, like, how many people he's shot, you know, like in the line of duty and like just fucking nonsense. Right. So anyway,
I bet the same jokes would work if he said, I wonder if this is what it would be like to be a cop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably. But he fucking sticks to this story. Like you can't poke a hole in it, but it's not true. Right. So, you know, that's his whole thing, is he's an ex-cop, and now he's a comic, right? So they're driving back to the hotel, and Ray's buzzed, and sure enough, they get pulled over, and Ray's like, oh, fuck, because he's been drinking,
right?
So, and the comic goes like, you know, don't worry about it, be cool, you know, like, used to be a cop, right? And so Ray's like, okay, and like, really, like, he knows it's bullshit, but like, hoping somehow it's true for some reason, maybe he can convince this lady that he's a cop or whatever, right? So Ray has, the cop comes up to the window, and she goes, you've been drinking tonight, and Mike, beforehand, this comic had gone, just be honest, tell her what's the truth, right?
Okay.
So he's like, okay. So she's like, have you been drinking tonight? He's like, yeah, I've had a couple of we're comedians. I was going to do the. And she goes, all right, get out of the car. And Ray's like, okay. You know, he's like looking at
anytime you want to make a move,
whatever,
buddy.
You're going to step in. That's great. So Ray does the entire fucking field sobriety test on the side of the highway, the whole thing. And the lady goes, female cop is like, Ray, you can see the hotel, by the way, from here.
Right.
Like, it's maybe 3/4 of a mile, but you can see the big Best Western side, whatever it is, right? So she goes, all right, look, I know that you're over the legal limit, but that's your hotel right there. If you just go straight there and do not leave the rest of the night, you're free to go. Like, just, you know, don't fuck around, you know, like that kind of a thing. Just gave him off with a warning. I guess it was just paperwork she wanted to deal with, whatever.
Wow.
So he's like, oh, my God, thank you so much. Like, and so he gets back in the car. And the whole, he's just like glares at the end. He's like, you handled that perfectly. Exactly what you needed to do. You know, like, I was going to step in, but you really fucking, it was like, oh, fuck you. Anyway, I think it's an amusing story. So back to the roommate. I apologize.
No. She continues. She does this whenever she knows I'm home. She'll just be loudly talking to herself. For example, just tonight, she was making supper alone in our kitchen. And she's saying, what do I have for dinner tonight? Oh, chicken. Then the timer goes off and she yells, oh, I'm coming. I'm coming, food. Here's number two. She keeps coming on to me, ? Like last year, we were watching Glee in my room when we weren't roommates.
Oh, you're telling her you're gay.
And afterwards, she told me that she would be totally cool with us having casual sex. I stared blankly, then laughed it off. She looked disappointed. Then this year at the club, I pointed out a pair of girls that were making out, and she said, you know, we could do things like that now that we live together.
Aww.
My best friend thinks that she's a lesbian. I'm pretty sure she's right. Who knows, right? 2010, everybody's bisexual.
Right.
It means nothing. 3, she's very gross when she uses our toilet. Now, to me, after these things, it's like, and she doesn't put the flag down after she takes the mail.
Yeah, you know?
She's very gross when she uses our toilet. Like, she leaves these little brown poop smears in the bowl. I cleaned them off because they were so gross, and by the next week, there were new ones. 4, she leaves the used pads nasty side up in the little garbage that is right by the toilet. I don't think she uses tampons. I shouldn't be able to tell. 5, she has these 3-hour baths when the toilet is in the same room as the bath, and I get no warning. I usually end up running to my brother's place down the hall. What is your verdict? Thank you guys so much. You have no idea how much you two have changed my life. Cecile.
Holy shit. Okay, the laughing and the thing, she can't do anything. She's just a douchebag, right? Like, when she tries to get her attention, she's a very lonely person.
Right.
And that's something you just have to deal with. The hitting on, stop laughing it off.
But here's what you do. I disagree.
Really?
I say you play this angle. She's into you. You use that. you don't like her laughter, and it's turning you off. You don't have to have sex with her or anything. You tell her, I don't find it so sexy when you laugh at it bothers me. I don't find it so sexy when you leave shit in the toilet. I don't find it so sexy when you even talk to me. I don't know if you guys know about this band called the Beatles, and John Lennon, uh-huh. It's rumored, was sexually into Paul McCartney. Now, nothing
Everybody
happened.
Knows the Beatles. Why would you say it like that?
I didn't know if everybody's heard of the Beatles. Everybody heard, well, it just came on iTunes.
Yeah, yeah, but the Beatles so maybe it's like, new they've been people. Like a huge deal forever. Like, why would you start off with, like, if you heard of the Beatles? Like, of course, who fucking hasn't heard of the Beatles? It's stupid what you did just there.
So, some people. So, right, I'm going to put the poll up.
Nobody hasn't heard of the Beatles. It's dumb. They're, like, the biggest band ever.
Godsmack's been on iTunes longer. Why?
Because they're so big that they wanted to work out a special deal. Like, oh, that's
they're
why.
So,
like,
they're so big, you can't buy their albums.
Okay.
Very good.
All right, so, anyway, go ahead. Sorry. Moving on with your point.
Well, McCartney played this to his advantage that Lennon was into him, mm-hmm. and got his way on songs, on credits, and all kinds of stuff because he knew Lennon was into him. And that's what you got to do. Anything, like even talking to me is kind of making me look at you less sexy. And she's like, oh my God, I'll just duct tape my mouth and go to bed. That I find sexy. That's what I say.
Eventually, you're going to have to pony up on that, though.
No, you never have to.
Throw a finger in it.
You've seen guys, the way they chase women around forever. It's pathetic. That's what's going on. It's fine.
All right. Now, the other stuff with the shit in the toilet and the tampons and the things.
Shit in her bed, tampons in her. The situation knew how to take care of this.
If you don't want to confront it one-on-one, you have she has another roommate, right?
Or she is has
it
just two one? Other roommates. There's 4 of them.
Okay,
apparently. Perfect.
You post a sign.
I'm sorry. Where'd you hear 4 people?
Didn't she say that at the very beginning?
I'm sorry. 3 other girls. You're correct.
Okay. Yeah. So post a sign that says, if you're going to take, you know, like warn the roommates if you're going to take a longer than, you know, 15-minute shower or bath. There have been shit stains in the toilet. Please look at the toilet before you leave the bathroom. And also, I don't want to see the blood stains in your thing. And just say we. It's, you know, very inappropriate if I see the blood on your thing. Roll it up in a napkin and toss it in the garbage. We all live here. So a letter. If you don't want to be confrontational, I get it. You live with the person. This way it could pertain to all 4 girls because it does, right?
Laura from London is saying this roommate's a bitch. First off, 3-hour baths. Everyone knows that the water doesn't stay warm for 3 hours. And she leaves pads nasty side up. I vote kill her. But that's how they deal with things in Europe.
So the good
Europe. These don't seem like they're kind of like little things that this just seems like a personal domestic issue.
Do you know what?
No, 3 hours
right
in
into a radio show.
3 hours in the bathroom is not a little thing. Right. You live with 3 other people? Come on.
And you know what? And I totally understand what Cecile is saying. And it's frustrating that you just said that. Like, what's such a big deal? She laughs during a TV show.
No, but they're like little things that build up that, like, absolutely, there's been people I wanted to kill for, like, doing minuscule thing, like,
right,
that motherfucker bites his nails in front of me one more time, whatever it is, right. Like, but you know, like, it's not enough that I would ever then fucking write into a radio, like, what do I do? You know, it's like, I would, you deal with it or you don't.
Yes,
maybe,
but
maybe you don't listen to such a cool radio show like ours.
Probably not.
Although
I'm not on this girl's side.
We've told this story, how do I get over a rape, and Jesse would be like, all right, maybe send a less lighthearted letter to a radio show. So no way to win with Jesse. Cecile and Elvis. But I will say this. It's frustrating when you have you live with somebody or you know somebody that's such a douche and you can't explain it to anybody. And you go, like, what don't you like? And it's like, well, he laughs at the TV and wants to include me in things.
Okay, you've just turned me around. You have absolutely turned, with that point alone, that is exactly it. Because that's her frustration,
right.
Is that those bug the shit out of her, but it doesn't sound like a big deal to me. Like, I mean, they collectively they all do, right. But individually it's like, all right, well, why can't you take care of that? Just tell her about it, you know. But I get it,
yeah,
because whenever you say it out loud to somebody else, it sounds ridiculous. Like,
yeah. Why do you hate your roommate, Keith? Why does he bother you so much? He wants to be my friend.
Yeah, he fucking shaves in my car. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I fucking lived through that for years.
Go to jessejoyce.com to see everything that he's doing.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Wilmington, North Carolina. Somebody put up a thing, a meetup on the forums. I don't know how many of you are out in that area, but Wilmington, North Carolina this weekend, Friday and Saturday. You should come to the show. It's going to be good times.
There you go. You buy a CD, he'll thank me on it, I understand.
Yeah. It's not out yet, but it's coming out, I promise, very soon.
Do you bring your old CDs with you?
No.
You're over that?
Yeah, I'm kind of done selling those right now.
So. Are you embarrassed by it?
No, because it stands as a little testament to where I was at the time.
But you don't
I'm
want
very excited to have the new one, and I'm ready to sort of like put that one to bed, if you will.
When
like
this,
you can still get it on iTunes, and it, like, I'm still proud of it. Like, I think it's a good one, but it's just like I'm tired of seeing that same fucking CD cover, and
when,
I'm tired of writing "Thanks, Keith." Really, is what it is.
When your new CD comes out,
uh-huh.
People ask you how many CDs do you have? How many CDs will you have?
I have two. I have two CDs.
Okay.
But you know, like, I'm selling the new one because that's the, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
You don't bring both of the books you wrote. You know what I mean? Like, you just.
No, we do, but okay.
Oh, do you? Okay. All right.
Sure. I'm proud of it then. I was proud of it now.
And I am. It's really, realistically, like, it's not a bigger point than this. The number one reason is because I'd have to order 1,000 more. Like, I'm on my last box.
Right.
And I kind of feel like I should just keep that box for posterity. But I don't necessarily want to invest in getting the least. 1,000 is the least amount you can get at a time.
Wow.
It's like, I don't need 1,000 of my old CD, so.
But Jesse.
Wow, so get it now. Get his old CD now.
Yeah.
Get it now.
You can get it forever on iTunes.
And Jesse's not an evil bitch corporation like this Bed Bath & Beyond, who when they run out of things, they reorder them. And they sell you more. Asshole. So check out jessejoyce.com.
Thanks, Phil.
The show, of course, brought to you by the Permanent Record Podcast. The Permanent Record is a weekly podcast from 230-something Minnesotans. Small town news, celebrity gossip, TV, movies, and their daily lives are all discussed. Said it before, I'll say it again. Wicked, calm down, yet sweet. Go to thepermanentrecordpodcast.com for shows and more information. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com.